Now, we're into a series just now that we're calling Stuff That Matters. Stuff That Matters. And for those who haven't been here perhaps the last couple of weeks, just to let you know exactly what we're doing here, the largest measurable group who have increased in church attendance of late is Gen Z. That is people between the ages of 14 and 29. So they are the biggest measurable group in which there's been an increase in church attendance and interest in faith, 14 to 29-year-olds. And where are we? Almost a year ago now, I read a book called What Gen Z Wants to Know About God. Because you see, I know it's hard to believe, but I'm a little removed from Gen Z. All right, not much. So it's good to be able to understand how they're wired and how their world looks. So what we're doing with Stuff That Matters is we're taking what Gen Z said are the questions they have about God, and we're looking at them for a few reasons. For Gen Zers, to give you the answers, maybe for yourself, but also maybe for your peers as well, so that you can, you know, explain to them things that they might be wondering about where faith is concerned. And then for the rest of us, so that we can understand Gen Z perhaps a little better, and so that we can communicate faith better to Gen Z. And then here's the bottom line. Every single question we're looking at through this series is a question that matters and that has impacted just about all of us at some part in our lives. So I'm not, you know, don't get the idea that, well, today he's preaching for people up to the age of 29, so I'll get my ice cream now. That's not it, you know, because what we're going to cover will be something that will be helpful to you right now, will be helpful to you communicating with others, will be good to you perhaps at some time in the future. Third question that Gen Z want to know about God is this: will God accept me? Will God accept me? I was born in 1950, which means that, 76 if you can't do math. I was born in 1950, and that means that I was kind of, my teenage years were in the 60s. And some of you might have heard about the 60s, some of you lived the 60s, and the 60s were a very different decade. A lot of things changed, a lot of upheaval, one of the things that changed in the 60s was there were a lot of fashion changes. And you know, if you're a teenager, one of the things you really want is you want to fit in, right? And I was a normal kind of teenager, so I wanted to fit in. And one of the things I was desperate to get was I wanted to get a pair of Winkle Picker shoes. You don't know what they are because you guys called them something else. They are shoes with a real pointed toe, right? Really, you know? So we call them Winkle Pickers because winkles are small shellfish, and you boil them up, and then you take a little pin, actually, and you put it in there and you eat them, like mini escargot. Gross, right? But anyway, we did. But that's what those shoes were called. You know, I'm getting into the teens and I'm getting out of the stage where your mother buys your clothes for you and you're getting now to have an opinion. And all my friends were wearing Winkle Pickers and my mother said, you're not getting those, they're ridiculous. What do parents know, really, right? They're ridiculous, you know. But there came the day where I wore her down. And she said, okay, get what you like, but your feet will suffer for it. And I did get what I liked. And my feet did suffer for it. They were incredibly narrow and pointed. And my feet were broad even as a teenager. And they crippled me. But I wore them with incredible pride. I remember sitting in church and having to kick them off because they were so painful to wear. But you know what? I just wanted to look the same as other people did. And I wanted to really fit right in. Being accepted. And you know what? That's not just unique to teenagers. It's the same for all of us. We want to feel we're accepted, that we belong, that we're welcome. So this question covers something we all crave. Acceptance is something we all crave. And the question is, will God accept me? And let me give you the answer straight away. God's acceptance is guaranteed. God's acceptance is guaranteed. There are several occasions in the Gospels where Jesus was asked a question and he replied to a question by asking another question. Someone came to him once and asked him, "What have I got to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, what does it say in the law?" He answered the question with a question. There was another time when they came and said to Jesus, "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar?" And Jesus asked them two questions. The first was, "Why are you trying to trap me?" The second was, he said, "Give me a coin." Then he asked them, "Whose head's on the coin?" He answered a question with a question. And I want to do that this morning. So if the question is, will God accept me? My response is, why shouldn't he? You might want to think about that for a moment. Or you might want to put that response to that question in your back pocket for when someone asks you something similar. "I don't think God would want me. I don't think I would belong. I don't think God would be interested in me." Why? Why wouldn't God accept you? And the point is there, and it may apply to some folks here this morning. You know, I ask that question back, and suddenly, you know, there's a slideshow in your brain of memories that you would rather you could forget, and of things that are really totally unwanted in your head. Or maybe it brings to mind the fact you've had serious questions about faith, you've had doubts about your lifestyle, and bottom line, you may feel, well, you know, I've just messed up too much and I'm too messed up for God to accept me. So here is a simple and all-embracing answer that I want to give you from Scripture, okay? John chapter 6 and verse 37. John chapter 6 and verse 37. Jesus said, "When anyone comes to me, I will never send that person away." You got that? Why don't you take a good look at that this morning? All right, I want you to remember it for your sake and for the sake of others you interact with who might be asking this question. When anyone comes to me, all right, pause there for a moment. When anyone, Jesus says, anyone. This is totally unconditional. Would God accept you? Well, the fact is, Jesus said, when anyone comes to me, I will never send that person away. That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? When anyone comes to me, I will never send that person away. Now let me just show you this similar truth from a slightly different angle. Jesus says, when anyone comes to me, I won't send them away. And then over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says this, "Look, I have been standing at the door and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me." So here's the same picture from the other angle, from Jesus's angle. And Jesus said, look, here's how it really is. I'm like knocking at the door. I want to come into your life. And he says, if you hear me, now, if anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. If anyone hears me and opens the door, will God accept me? God's acceptance is 100% guaranteed, whoever we are and however we are. It is. You see, we're accustomed to a different way of life because society runs differently. If you came to me today and said, you know, "I really love singing, can I sing in the band?" I'm not going to say to you, "Yeah, get up next Sunday, we'll give you a mic." Right? And there are some good reasons I'm not going to do that. One of those is I'm looking out for all of you. Right? And I'm not going to make that call anyway. I'm going to say, talk to Steve. And you know what Steve's going to do? Steve's going to do, let's set up this time and you can have an audition. We're going to check you out to see what you can do. And as you've seen, if you're newish to us and us regulars know it, there's a very high standard for our band, which we thank God for, you know. They do what they do to a high extent, and it's incredible stuff. So, you know, you want to play in the band, you audition. If you want to get into a school, you got to have the grades. You got to qualify. If you want to get a job, you've got to have the right resume, the right experience. But God acts totally differently to that, radically differently. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. When you believed in Jesus, God saved you because you deserved it. Doesn't say that, does it? God saved you because you earned it. No. God saved you because you proved you were good enough. No. No. God saved you because he is very kind. I love this translation of that verse. God saved you because he is very kind. You could not save yourselves, but that is God's gift to you. God's gift to you. He has not saved you as a result of any good things that you have done. So nobody has any reason to be proud about it. There's the bottom line. Will God accept me? Yes, he will. Nothing to do with me, everything to do with him. He is very kind. Salvation is God's gift to you. There's a story in the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel that many of you will be fairly familiar with. It's a story we've come to know as the prodigal son. And I love that story. It's... If you're not too familiar with it, it's like this. This man has two sons, and one of the sons basically says to his father, I wish you were dead. Which is not a nice thing to say, right? I wish you were dead. Well, he didn't say it in those words. Basically, what he said is, I can't wait any longer for you to die and to get my hands on your inheritance. So I tell you what, can you give me my share of the inheritance now? Because I want to enjoy it now. And so his father gave him what would be his share of the inheritance. And that particular son went off someplace and partied and did a lot of who knows what. And eventually the money came to an end. He wasted it all away. And he found himself feeding pigs, hungry, dirty, disgusted with himself. And then he decides, if my father would accept me back, just as a servant in his household, I'd be better off than I am now. So he made his way home, rehearsing this speech of repentance and asking his dad for forgiveness. And the Bible says, while he was still a long way from home, his father saw him. I want you to notice that. Now, that was a piece of luck, wasn't it? That his dad was there at the right moment when he was coming home. Or was it that his dad was out there on the front porch a lot of the time, daily, regularly, looking down the long road to the house and longing for his son to come? I think that's near the truth. Because when he was a long way away, his father saw him, and his father ran to meet him. And before the boy could begin his speech, his father hugged the life out of him, told them to get him better shoes, told them to put a decent clothes on him, and said, come on back home, we're going to have a party to celebrate the fact that you are here. Will God accept you? He's looking for you. He is waiting for you. He is wanting you to come home. Now, you may be sitting here today, and the truth is this. Maybe you've drifted from God. Maybe you had a relationship with God once, and this Sunday morning, your butt's still on the chair, but your heart's not where it once was. And maybe you feel like, you know what, I've just messed things up, and they can never be the same. You know, I don't know. I've just ruined everything. Let me just tell you this, and I want you to get a hold of this. You can never go so far that the grace of God can't reach you. You can never go so far that the grace of God can't reach you. He doesn't matter where you've been. He's not concerned about what you've been into. He wants you to come home. He's looking for you to come home because God is a God of restoration. God's acceptance is guaranteed. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have your beliefs 100% sorted out. You don't have to have never doubted. You don't have to have a clean, pristine history. The reality is this. The Father wants to receive you home. Will God accept me? 100%. All of the time. Yes, He will. God's acceptance is guaranteed. Now, with that in mind, I guess what I've just been saying might particularly apply to those of you that don't really know the Lord yet, or to those of you that have wandered. But I hope those truths will be helpful to every one of us in our interactions with others. If God's acceptance is guaranteed, I want to talk to our church family, regular church family here at Genesis. And if you're visiting with us, I want you to listen carefully because you'll get a clear picture of what we're about here at Genesis. So I want to say this for us as a church. Our acceptance must be unconditional. Our acceptance, if God's acceptance is guaranteed, our acceptance, because implied in that question or accompanying it when Gen Zers are saying this is one of their concerns, it's not just will God accept me, but the question is will you accept me? And I want to just reemphasize and underline this fact. Our acceptance must be unconditional. All right, let me ask you a question. How many of you went to the mosque for prayers on Friday? Wow, none of you, pagans. Right? How many of you thought about going to a mosque for prayers on Friday? Nobody. That's how the majority of unchurched people thought about church today. It never occurred to them. They never thought about it. It's not even on their radar. Now, if you say to me, why didn't you go to the mosque on Friday? It's like, well, you know what? I listed 7 reasons, right, where we might not have gone into some unusual setting. 1, no one ever invited you. 2, it doesn't interest you. 3, you wouldn't be able to understand what was going on. 4, you wouldn't know what to do. 5, you got no idea what you'd wear. I do know in a mosque you make sure your socks don't have holes in because you got to take your shoes off and leave them at the door. I know that bit, right? 6, you fear you wouldn't fit in. And 7, you feel you wouldn't be wanted. Let's flip the script there and let's look at that in the context of the unchurched person. The unchurched person isn't in church. Well, maybe for one thing, because no one ever invited them. Didn't even start the thought process going. 2, they're not in church because church doesn't interest them. But let's say you're in a position where you've overcome those two and you're sitting here among us today. Well, everyone, here's the next three that we really need to work on. We need to work on the fact that people don't come because they don't understand what's going on. Now, we have a very stripped down, simplified service on a Sunday morning. In case you didn't figure out why that is, it's very simple. Because we are aware of people who are unchurched, who are outside of the family of God, who don't really know the Lord, and we want to keep it dead simple. When I was pastoring in Scotland, we used to have a regular, at least 2-hour Sunday morning service. We sang and praised and worshiped for an hour, and I preached for an hour. I can do that. But you know what? If someone's not used to going to church at all, they're not used to standing there feeling like a spare part for an hour while everybody sings and dances and waves their hands and is having a good old time, and it's like, what's going on? They're not used to sitting listening to an hour-long sermon either. So I try to cut it back, honestly. But we want people to be able to understand what's going on when they come into our services. Another area is there. This, people feel that they wouldn't know what to do. I haven't been in Catholic churches much, but I've been to several funeral masses, and I always sit at the back. You know why I sit at the back? Because I don't know what to do. I don't know when I'm meant to stand up, sit down, kneel, cross myself, whatever else. I don't know what I'm meant to do. So I stay at the back so that I'm not conspicuous. And the danger is when, you know, people come in, they're really not sure what to do. That's why it's so good to have those who volunteer every week to be our hosts. We call them welcome teams, but they're hosts to try to guide people and help people and show them where things are because they don't know what to do. And then, of course, there's the thing that people feel, like, what would I wear if I went to church? Whatever you want. Please be covered. But whatever you want. You fear you wouldn't fit in. Oh man, that's something we really constantly need to be working on. You feel you wouldn't fit in. Or you feel you wouldn't be wanted. And that's where we all need to be, constantly aware of who's around us, of who's in the place, that you know what, we talk to other people. I know that's tough. You know, we interact a little bit with other people, and that way you're going to meet now and again someone who says, I'm here for the first time. And you know what, you tell them you're glad to see them. I say it every week, but I've got to say it. No, I mean it. No, I do mean it, honestly. But you know what, you tell them, and help them to fit in. Our acceptance must be unconditional. And let me say this. If someone who doesn't know the Lord, isn't connected with church, comes in those doors one Sunday, they may not look or act remotely like you do. Don't expect them to. Don't expect them to. Expect them to look and act like you did before you knew Jesus. And don't forget how that was. You don't expect them to be, you know what, you know, or realize the fact that, you know what, they may be struggling with things now that by the grace of God were never a problem or an issue for you. But they've got their issues and they've got their struggles. But the bottom line is they are here. By the grace of God. I loved this statement that was made by a lady in our church, oh my, years ago now. And here's what she said, and it stuck with me. She said, I needed a church where I'd be welcome when I rolled out of bed hungover on a Sunday morning and was still pretty disheveled. Yes. Yes. You're hungover today. Thanks for making the effort to be here. Do you feel, well, you know, I didn't have time to put my act together. You look pretty cool to me. That's what we need to make sure, that our acceptance is unconditional. You know what? It's been on that cafe wall now for 7 years. But the big statement that runs along that long wall, probably, you know, I rarely look at it. I know it's up there, whatever. When it's first up there, I thought, that's cool, that looks good, whatever. You know, and I'll mention it, but probably, you know, probably most of you that are here regularly haven't actually looked up there for years now. But we really need sometimes to remind ourselves. And that statement on that wall starts with this: for the unconnected, the disconnected, or those just plain disappointed with church, we exist, in the words of Jesus, to seek and to save those that are lost. That's what we're about. We exist for the unconnected, the disconnected, or those who are disappointed with church. We must never let it settle into a cozy, holy club where those that we are designed for, those that we are intended to reach, feel like to some degree they are outsiders. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verse 28. He said, come to me, all of you who are tired from the heavy burden you've been forced to carry, and I will give you rest. All of you who are tired from the heavy burden. A lot of the folks who come in our doors are tired from the heavy burden that they're carrying. And we need to point them to the Jesus who will give them rest. Acceptance isn't tolerating, it's including. It's going further. It's helping people to belong. God's acceptance is guaranteed. Our acceptance must be unconditional. And then there's a third statement I want to make, because this apparently particularly pertains to Gen Z. And that is this: acceptance isn't necessarily agreement. We live in a nation that is bitterly divided in many ways. And Gen Z has grown up in that. If you're 29 years old now, you know what? Let's say 11, 12 years old, you started to take more notice of things. So that means for the past 18 years. And you know what? The trends we've seen in the last 18 years have got worse and worse and worse. You know, animosity, you know. I mean, when did politicians start cursing at each other? I mean, they never used to do that, did they? I mean, they probably did it in private, but it's, you know, it never became, you know, you didn't hear that stuff. You didn't read that stuff. And the hostility between people and between factions. And it's almost like, it is. You know, I'm here. If you don't see things the way I do, you're history. You're done. And Gen Z has grown up with that, and Gen Z tends to think, you know what, we need to be accepting of everybody. And we do, but we don't. Acceptance isn't necessarily agreement. That's the point I make it, right? A number of years ago, as many of you know, I worked with Weight Watchers for quite a number of years, and there was a lady who'd been with us for years in one of my regular weekly meetings, and really very nice woman. We got on very well. She was a good person to have around. And one day she told me she was going to be getting married and asked if I would do her wedding. And I said, wow, I'd be privileged to do that. I would love to. And I did. I did her wedding. And she was introduced me to all of her family and friends. It was really cool. And then a couple of weeks after the wedding, I got a scathing email from her, really telling me that she didn't think anything of me, that I had, you know, that she didn't realize that, you know, I was just living a lie. It was just all a facade. And she pointed out to, she mentioned what had put her this way. She said, I'm blocking you from everything. I won't be back to your meetings. And what had put her over the edge was, I was on Twitter, as it was called back then, and somebody quoted something that Donald Trump said. And I hit the like button because I thought it was good. Now, to me, it made no difference whether Trump said it, Joe Biden said it, the Dalai Lama said it, or Mr. Rogers. But I thought that's cool. That's good. So I hit the like button. And she saw me like something that was associated with the name Trump. I didn't say I liked the fella. I didn't say I agreed with the fella. All I said was, that's a good statement. That's all I'm kind of saying here. But that was it. I was done. And that is how so much of our world is right now. If you don't see eye to eye totally with me on topics, we're finished. But you see, the thing we've got to do, and Gen Z, I hope you can get this. God will always accept you. We totally accept you. Doesn't mean to say I necessarily agree with everything, but we'll accept you totally. Some of you will get hold of the wrong end of the stick with what I'm going to say now, but I'll risk it. A number of years ago now, I had a call from a lady just after same-sex marriage was legalized in New York State. I had a phone call from a lady, and she said, our son's going to be giving you a call because now that it's legal, him and his partner want to get married, and he wants you to marry them. Actually, I thought I'd give you a heads up. I said, thanks. A few weeks after that, I'm preaching, and the guy in question came sometimes to church, but not on a regular basis. But I'm preaching one Sunday, and it was part of what I said when I referred to marriage and said, marriage is pretty clear in the Bible. A man leaves his father and wife, and father and mother, and he clings to his wife. It's a man and woman thing. It's a commitment of a man to a woman to a man for their natural born lives. That's biblical marriage. And when I finish that service, I'm walking right towards the back, and this particular man is standing there right in the middle at the back, right in front of me. And he looked at me and said, I guess you're not going to do my wedding then, are you? And I said, no, I'm not. But I still respect you, and I still love you. He broke into the broadest grin, threw his arms open, and gave me an enormous hug and said, and I love you, Roger. We accept everybody. We might not agree with some of their stuff, and acceptance doesn't mean agreement, and acceptance doesn't need to mean agreement. In fact, let me say this. When I say God accepts us all, of course he does. But I'm going to tell you this. When you're in a relationship with God, things are going to change. In the Weight Watcher world, I remember a lady I met once, and she had just joined that day. And I was sitting down with her, running through the program with her. After I'd gone through it, she said, and many of you are acquainted vaguely or closely with how Weight Watchers works. They give a points value to all foods. She said to me, how many points are a bagel? So, probably the number one question in New York. How many points in a bagel? And I said, well, it depends on the weight of the bagel, but it's going to be around 12 or 13 points. She said, wow. I get 25 points a day. That's half of my day. I said, yeah, that's a dry bagel. She said, well, what about cream cheese? I said, well, it depends where you get it. If you put it on yourself and put it on thinly, I said, if you go to a bagel store, your cream cheese is going to be another 12 or 13 points minimum. So she said, so that's all my daily allowance on a bagel. I said, yeah, you eat your breakfast, go back to bed, and get up the next morning. That's all you can do. And she said to me, I have a bagel every day for breakfast. I said, well, you might find some alternatives. So you find you move things around, you can fit it in now and again. And she said, no, I won't be able to do this. I have a bagel for breakfast every day, and that's my breakfast. I love my bagel in the morning, and that's it. I won't be able to do this. And she never came back. You see, it's like, I want to lose weight, but I don't want to change anything. And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, things are going to change. They are. But not in an oppressive, you know, God's knocking me into shape. You know, it's not boot camp, not in that way. It's simply like this. If you begin to walk with Jesus, you end up going to the places that he's going to. And you find you're actually not going anymore to the places that Jesus didn't want to go to. And you're doing things that he wants to do, and you're not doing things anymore that he doesn't want to do. And it's not oppressive by any means. But the reality is this. God accepts us absolutely, unconditionally. But the fact is this. It doesn't mean God agrees with everything with us. God's changing every one of us here, right? Yes was a good answer, by the way. All right? But he is. But he is. We're all somewhere in the process. We're all at some point along the journey. And it's continuing. We are continuing to be changed on a regular basis. We accept everyone. Doesn't mean we agree. Heck, Jesus didn't agree with everything with the people he hung out with. You know, him and his disciples spent a lot of time together. But you know who Jesus hung out with when he left work? Luke 7:34. He said to the religious leaders, "You say about me, look at this man. He eats too much and he drinks too much." Now, that's what they said. I'm not saying that's what Jesus did. But he did the next bit. They used to say, "He's a friend of bad people and men who take taxes from people." So he's a friend with the lowest of the low. And you know, yes, he didn't agree with their lifestyles, but he befriended them, he accepted them, he welcomed them because he wanted to be with them. And he knew that as long as they were with him, the fact is this, they were going to find the life that deep down inside they wanted, and they were going to be led along a pathway which would connect them far better with him and with his Father. That's how it is with us and God. There's no question that he will accept us. Salvation is instantaneous when we embrace Jesus as our Savior. It's the gift of God. But then there begins a lifelong, gentle process by which God makes us more like himself. By the way, let me just say this. Christians, the job of making people more like Jesus is his, not yours. Just thought I'd put that out there. When Jesus called some of his disciples who were fishermen, he said this in Matthew 4:19. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." We lived in a commercial fishing area for 15 years of our lives in the northeast of Scotland. And let me say this. There were the boats that went out every week, and there were the processing plants that processed the fish they landed. The fishermen caught the fish. The processors processed the fish. God says, "I'll make you fishers of men. You go get the fish. I'll take care of them. I'll take care of them." Our job is to love people. Our job is to welcome people. Our job is to encourage people. That's what our role is. And then God does what only God can do. Does that mean that we agree with things that people are doing? It means that we accept people for where they are and let God do the changing. So, in conclusion, question, will God accept me? Will God accept you? Absolutely. Will we, Genesis, accept you? Totally. Will God want to change me? Yes. But it's really for the better, and that's really good news. Let's pray together for a moment. And it might be that you're here today and you don't really have a connection with God, or maybe you're here as someone who once walked with the Lord, but you know what? You've strayed. Once you were really, you know, firm in your faith, but now your faith's become something that's on the back burner. And I want to encourage you just in these few moments as I come to pray, just to recognize the Father is looking for you. The Father's waiting for you. The Father wants you. And make this Sunday morning the day you say, Lord God, I'm coming home to you. Jesus, I hear you knocking at the door of my life. Today I open the door to you and say, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. God, thank you that you love us and that you accept us just as we are. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us to show that we're worthy. But Lord, because of your kindness, you reach out your saving hand to us. Lord, may today be a day when some here, some watching online, really come back into the Father's home. Come to know you and recognize the fact that you accept them with a glad and an open and a willing heart. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 God bless you. Let's stand and sing with the band.